And we're in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Just as you're turning there, review of chapter 12 a little bit, what we saw last time we got together. Last time we looked at the spiritual landmines that the Israelites are going to face in the promised land and how the Lord marked them out for them before they got there. One of the most dangerous landmines was the temptation to worship false gods in the land. And another one was the temptation to take worship too lightly and not worship only in the location that the Lord was going to approve for them, which would be the place of the tabernacle. And the point was that they had to come to the Lord on His terms. And for us, it's the same. You know, we have to come to the Lord through Jesus. Another danger was for them to learn the pagan ways and to be pulling away from doing things God's way. And of course, those are all good warnings for us as well. So when we talked about those being landmines, you know, it would just make sense if someone is going to mark those out for you. You'd be wise to listen and pay attention to the one that's given those directions. There were some amazing positive things the Lord told them too. And these are things that hopefully we can hold on to as well, because they're really important to the Lord and hopefully important to us too. He wanted them to rejoice in His presence. And that's a good thing. The Lord is not upset about us being He wants us to enjoy when we get a chance to come together, worship Him. When we're on our own, have a chance to worship Him. Wherever we're at, where we take a moment just to turn to the Lord, He wants us to rejoice in His presence. And that's a really cool thing. We talked about the Lord having that desire for us. He doesn't want us to just grovel and, you know, be dragging ourselves around. But He wants us to have that heart of joy because we have a relationship with Him. And one of the most important things, excuse me, was to not change anything that the Lord had to say. Don't add anything to His commands. Don't take anything away, because His ways are perfect. So you can't improve on them. Just do what the Lord says. So we mentioned too that one of the main things we saw through that chapter was obedience. And that was one of the points the Lord keeps bringing up over and over and over again in this teaching of Deuteronomy. And you might ask the question, Lord, why do you have to keep telling him to obey and obey and obey? And then we know the end of the story. Once they got in the land, they didn't obey, obey, obey. So the Lord knows us. He knows how many times we need to hear these things. And the Lord continues to bring it in front of us as well, because we see ourselves a whole bunch in these folks. When we look at how they responded to the Lord, we find ourselves kind of in the same boat at times. So today now, in this passage in chapter 13, we're going to look at false propaganda. It's kind of interesting, you know, propaganda is just the spreading of information, but it can be used for good or bad. Usually we hear it in a negative term, but one of the most well-known propaganda experts in war history was Adolf Hitler. Hitler's use of war propaganda resulted in convincing his own country of the National Socialism ideals. And they ultimately resulted in the Holocaust, the extermination of the Jews, and the breakout of World War II. So we can see that false propaganda is powerful. It can be very dangerous in the lives of those people that are affected by it. And the false propaganda we're looking at today in our passage is that which is brought about by false messengers. And that's what the Lord is going to focus on here. So He's warning them that they're going to have these people come in their midst to bring a false message, and we'll see the goal of them doing that. But it's something for us to pay attention to as well. The enemy works a lot of times by the same means he's always used, and one of them is to bring people across our path and try to turn us away from the Lord. So look at chapter 13 down to verse 1. It says, if there are, well, let me start, as a matter of fact, at the end of last verse of chapter 12, because it comes into play real quick here. It says at verse 32, last verse in chapter 12 of Deuteronomy, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. That idea of being careful. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. And again, this is the idea of don't add anything to the Word of God. Don't take anything away. It's already perfect. So just do what it says. Take it as truth. And obey the Lord, okay? And then it says in chapter 13, if there rises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, and here's his message, though. He says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. then you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. And here's the reason. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. Now he mentions here a false prophet and a false dreamer. Now both of these guys are false messengers. Okay, so I'm going to refer to these guys as the false messengers as we go through this. And the Lord said they're going to be a little different. One's going to be a prophet. One will be more of a dreamer of dreams. Now a false prophet is somebody that declares that they're bringing a message from God, but it's not really from the Lord. Okay, so those people existed back then, and we still have those today. A false dreamer is somebody who declares that they had this direct revelation from the Lord that they got in a dream. But again, it's not from the Lord. Okay, so what's the standard for us as believers? It's God's Word. It's the Bible. That's the thing that we go to see what does God really say, like we're doing today. This is the Lord checking us on that. And that's why it said in verse 32 of the last chapter, you don't add to it and you don't take away from it. It's the standard. It's the truth. And everything has to agree with that if it's from the Lord. Okay? So the Lord's not upset at all by people checking things out by his word. We know in Acts 17, you know, we talked about the Bereans. The Lord said there about the Bereans, they were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And the Lord acknowledged them. He said, hey, these guys did a great job. They were more noble because they were willing to say, is this really what God said? We heard what you're telling us, Paul, but we want to know, is this really from God? Because you're telling us this is God's message. So they checked it out by the scriptures, by the word of God. And that's what the Lord wants us to do as well when someone comes to us and tells us, I've got a word for you from the Lord. We have to see, does it really agree with God said to be true? Okay? Now, we want to keep a balance on this, the other side of the story. There are true gifts of prophecy, and there are true gifts of knowledge the New Testament talks about that do come from the Lord. So we don't want to throw this all the way out, okay? One of the things we want to avoid is moving ourselves away from the true gifts just because there are false prophets and false dreamers. And that's a tendency, unfortunately, okay? There may be times that the Lord might want to use you or me to minister to somebody that he's got in front of us. And he might want to do it by using one of those supernatural gifts. So don't shy away from the true gifts that are there. And let me explain this a little bit about the gifts as we look at this. This is a good opportunity to bring this up, how these gifts work. Okay, I don't want you to be surprised if and when the Lord wants to use you that way to speak to that person in front of you. I had a couple instances in the past, I know a long time ago, before I understood that the Lord still worked in this way. I was in the barbershop. I was cutting this older gentleman's hair, and he was, I think he told me he was 82. For some reason, he gave me his age. And some of you heard the story already. As I was cutting his hair, and we talked a little bit at the beginning, but then you kind of get in the routine, and I'm just thinking, and he's not talking, so we're just kind of floating around, I guess, in our minds. And all of a sudden, a thought came to my mind. I didn't hear a voice or anything, but a thought popped in my head that said, tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was just a thought, you know, just something that was there. And I thought, where'd that come from? You know, well, it shocked me. And I know I must have blushed because it just came just from nowhere. You know, I wasn't thinking, I'm thinking about the Lord right now. What do you think, Lord, or anything? I wasn't going on. And all of a sudden the thought was there. So I was thinking, do I say something to this guy? We're not even talking right now. You know, so I'm trying to rationalize this out. And finally, I chickened out and didn't say anything at all. And the guy left, and I never saw him again. But it really troubled me because that thought was so strong in my mind. So I went to the church I was at. I asked one of the guys there who'd known the Lord longer than I did, and I told him what happened. And he said, well, that thought came from one of three places. Either it came from you, and he says, you obviously didn't want to tell the guy, so it didn't come from you. Could have come from the devil, but I don't think he wanted to tell you. He wanted you to tell the guy about Jesus, so that leaves the Lord. You know, and I just, I was so thankful he walked me through this, but on the other hand, of course, I felt guilty. I thought, oh man, the Lord had a reason he wanted to say something to that guy, and I missed that opportunity. And at the time, the place I was going didn't tell us that those gifts were in effect, so I didn't understand that at all. But that's one of the reasons I want to tell you this, so you're aware of that. I think I told you the other story as well that happened some time ago. We were asked to give this lady a ride to church, and when I called her, I didn't know her at all, but I called her and was telling her, we'll pick you up at this time and everything, and she was fine with that. But the thought popped in my head of abortion. And I'm thinking, wow, that's another strong thought that was there, but I don't know where that came from. And I thought, I don't even know this lady. I just can't bring up the subject of abortion. I didn't know how to do that. So I bypassed it. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, Lisa, my wife, was in the nursery with her. And she told her she was hemorrhaging because she had an abortion a week earlier. So things like that, you know, there are times I think the Lord's trying to speak to the person that he's got in front of us. And he may use some supernatural gift like that. He may speak to your heart. He may put a thought in your mind. And I want you to just know God works that way. Okay? That's the way he works. I think I told you somebody not long ago asked me that question. They were talking to somebody and all of a sudden a thought popped in their head. And they said, I didn't want to really know whether I should say that or not. I didn't know if I was supposed to or not. But you know, the best thing is when the thought comes, step out there in the water and see if it's the Lord that's doing that. Get out of the boat and just walk on that water and see if this is the Lord. I didn't know how to approach that, but I've learned some since then, hopefully. But like the instance with the lady with the abortion, what I could have done, I learned afterwards. Somebody said, well, you could have at least said something like this, you know, because you don't want to say, I think the Lord wants to tell you something about this and, you know, get on your high horse. But you could say, you know, I just had this thought. I just don't know if it means anything to you or not, but let me just say this and see if it's anything important to you. And just to say, you know, I was thinking about abortion and stuff. Does that mean anything to you? And you never know. They might say, well, yeah, I was just considering that or something. How did you know? You know? And then you can tell them, well, I think the Lord's trying to speak to you. You know? But the Lord does work that way, just to let you know. So I don't want us to look at this and say, hey, every prophet that comes along, every person that says they had a dream, it's all false. So we throw that out. No. We want to weigh it out against the Word of God. The Lord's fine with that for us checking it out. But there are times that the Lord wants to use us. So there are true gifts. Okay? Now, what he's talking about here, these false prophets and dreamers, they're going to try to get the people to turn away from following the true God. That's their mission and that's their goal. Okay, they have a different agenda than saying, I want you to walk close to the Lord. There's other things that are going on. Now, first thing the Lord talks about here, he says about these messengers. In verse 2, he said, they may have a sign and a wonder that comes to pass. So, it may happen. It may really take place what they said was going to, and it was a supernatural thing. But that does not make their message true, and that's what we got to be careful with. A lot of people are looking for experiences. That's what they're searching for. And when something supernatural happens, they want to jump on the bandwagon and say, that had to be from God. It was supernatural. Well, not everything that's a supernatural event is from the Lord, and we need to realize that. Because I've met some folks, probably like you have, that they're ready to jump on anything that sounds out of the ordinary. They're just ready to go. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. Again, whatever it is, we check it with the Word of God. And that's why we see if that agrees. So whatever message they bring, it has to agree with the clear teaching of God's Word for it to be true. So we got to be careful, as the Lord said there. We have to be discerning. Now, another good test we can do is when we hear somebody speaking and saying, this is a message from the Lord, we can ask this question. This is another good, safe question just to run through your thinking here in our mind. Is this what Jesus would do? Okay? Because when Jesus did the miracles, or he spoke truth from the Father, what did he do? He was always pointing to God. He was pointing to the Father. Okay? He wasn't advertising anything different than, I'm pointing you to God. Okay, so we have to ask that question, is this person, the things he's telling me, is it pointing me to God or where is it pointing me? All right, and that's a real good question to ask. Is he pointing me to money? It's just some of these false prophets will point you toward money. Okay, well, we're going to think about that for a second here. There was a years past when they had some of these fads going through the churches, and some of you remember the spirit of laughter, that false teaching that came through. Well, I came over here in St. Louis. There was an event that came up, and this guy was promoting the spirit of laughter, and it was interesting. I heard this on the radio. There was a lady that was attending it, and she thought, I don't know, it sounds okay, but I'm just concerned. Is this the real thing? And she knew in herself, she's thinking, I haven't been walking with the Lord enough to have good discernment. I want to know. So she asked an older lady that was a friend of hers to come and check out the thing. So she did. And it was real interesting what her friend came with, because she came with a skeptical mind and was going to take notes on every verse that was brought up and really check things out for her friend. Well, it was a two-hour service, and in two-hour service, had a half of a prayer, and it was on giving in 2 hours, okay? And there was a half of a verse that was used, and it was on, guess what? Giving, okay? Now, what would discernment tell you? What God is he serving, right? It's not the true living God. There was no great truths from God's word that were taught. There weren't even great prayers prayed, but it was all focused on giving, okay? So that would be the God of money that he was referring to and very subtly pointing people to themselves, okay? That's the same false God he would be trying to get the people to serve, because he would kind of tell you something like this, and this is the implication. If you have faith like mine, then God will bless you with lots of money too, okay? Then this is the false God of money he's referring to. But when we see someone use a supernatural sign even, you know, to say that, we'll have to ask the question, does this agree completely with the Bible, and where is he pointing me? Because, you know, I see some of these guys that promote the prosperity teaching, and that they're really pointing you that direction too, saying if you have faith, God's going to bless you with a lot of money. Well, that's not our God. That's a different God you're talking about. It's the God of money. Now, the amazing thing in this passage we just looked at here to me is, why did God allow this to happen? You know, why does he allow a person to use a sign or a wonder that's not from him? Well, look at verse 3, because he gives us the answer there. He said, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. And here's the reason. For the Lord, your God, is testing you. And here's what he wants to know. Whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So why does he allow people to do this? And he says, it's to have a test there. See if you really love the Lord as much as you say you do. Okay? So see, if the person would follow the leading of this false prophet, then they would leave the Lord. And that would show that they don't really love the Lord much, if at all. Okay? So, is it possible today for us that the Lord allows those false messengers to continue in the world for the same reason, just to test his people? And I know, interesting, huh? Something to think about. Well, you know, when I first got saved, and I was so green behind ears, I don't know which end of the Bible was up, Harley, you know, very new in the Lord. I used to follow some of these false teachers myself, because they're all over TV and radio, and it's not hard to find these guys, right? And I didn't have much discernment. But, you know, after a while, the Lord graciously pulled me away from them, and I noticed, as I thought back on this, the biggest thing the Lord used was me starting to open the Bible and read it for myself, rather than listen to what this guy says is from the Lord, you know? So that's one of the best things we can do. Get the Bible, no matter who's speaking, whether it's me, anybody else, see if this is really what the Bible says, you know? Or are you just listening to somebody and go along with what they're telling you? So you want to make sure you check it out with the Bible yourself, and that'll help avoid these false messengers. Now, look at verse 4. This is amazing to me what the Lord says here. You could chew on this verse for a while. He said, you shall walk after the Lord. It means you shall follow the Lord. And what was the message Jesus gave? Follow me, right? Very simple message. Follow me. And it says, you'll walk after the Lord in your God, and you will fear him. And that helps us keep in line, have a great respect for our Lord, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. So it's interesting that you're going to listen to the Lord. You're going to obey his voice and do what he says. You shall serve him. You're going to be a servant to the Lord. And you want to hold fast to him. So the Lord's saying, you need to stay really close to me. There are false teachers out there. These guys are sharp. They're tricky. You need to stay close to me. And that's the best place we can be. When you come to verse 5, look what it says. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, you're going to put him in jail for a while. Is that what it says? No. He says he shall be put to death. And why is that? Because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Now it's interesting because these verses teach us a very powerful principle about God. Because we're seeing the Lord's allowing this to happen. He said that. He's using what's taking place, but now he's going to punish the people involved that are doing the evil stuff. So here's the principle we get from this one. God allows evil, and he may even use those people who do the evil, okay, for his own purposes, but in the end, he's going to punish those people for the evil that they've done. So they're not getting away with anything, okay? The Lord said these guys need to be punished. They deserve death on this one. So God's still going to use the situation, but our God is so big that he not only allows evil and is going to use it, but he's also going to punish them on the other side of that story. And you see that in different places in the Old Testament too. Remember, the Lord's going to use Babylon to discipline his children, wicked people, evil people. So he uses them, and at the end, they're going to pay the price for what they did. So that's a very powerful principle about our God. And I remember in Bible college when that principle first came across my path, I was just surprised. I thought, wow, our God's pretty awesome and pretty huge to be able to have this kind of power and control that he can allow evil to happen. He can use it for his own purpose. And all things work together for good for us as believers, right? So the Lord can turn these situations around. But even afterwards, the people he uses like that and allows them to do the evil stuff they want to do, they're going to pay the price at the end of the road anyway. So it's really interesting just to see what the Lord does. Now, look how serious the Lord takes this sin that these guys are into of being false messengers. He said they get the death penalty. Wow. He asked the question, why on that one? Why, Lord, so severe of a penalty on this one? And he gives the answer. He said, because he rescued the Israelites. He redeemed them. Okay? And that means that he owns them. He paid for them. He paid the ransom price for them, is what redemption means, to be bought from the slavery they were in Egypt. So they belong to him, just like we belong to the Lord. He redeemed us from the world. The Lord has paid the price for our ransom, that we've been set free from our sins. So he now owns us. We are not our own. We have been bought at a price. The very blood of Christ is what paid for us. So we belong to him too. And the Lord is very upset with false teachers. Don't think that the Lord doesn't see what's going on or that he's going to let these people go. The Lord's extremely concerned over this issue and doesn't like these folks. But here's a picture now of the Lord. He shows us here. He redeemed these people. And these false messengers were doing what? They're trying to steal these people from God. Wow, no wonder the Lord sees us as such a wicked thing. They're trying to steal God's children. Wow, that's a serious offense to the Lord. So he hates that kind of evil work, and he says it deserves death. That's the penalty. Okay, so you think about this. It's a very serious thing for a person to falsely say that he's speaking for the Lord. And remember, what these guys was doing was going to affect these people eternally. Something else to consider. So this wasn't just, you know, bad money advice somebody was given or bad health advice that would affect them in this life. But we're talking about somebody that's going to affect their eternal destiny if they can draw them away from the Lord and the children after them and have them follow the evil direction of the pagans around them. So God hates these false messengers who are tampering with somebody else's eternity. And the Lord really wanted them. He didn't want them to prosper. He didn't want the people here who were under their influence at this point, they're hearing these false messengers. He doesn't want them to ponder it. He doesn't want them to investigate it. He doesn't want them to think about it. Just kill the messenger. Get it out of there. Okay? Now, this applies to anything in our life that's causing us to turn away from the Lord. We need to just kill it. Get it out of our life. Don't even let it stay, okay? So that stuff needs to be dealt with, whatever it is. The Lord lets us know it's not a safe thing to be playing with this stuff, not when it comes against the Lord. Now look how these guys operated. This is kind of interesting too. It says there in verse 5, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord our God. So these false messengers were intentionally trying to turn them away from God. They're trying to attract them by arousing. It mentions here this word entice them. If you notice that, as you go on to verse 5, it says, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. And that word entice, it means to attract by arousing hope or desire. So I don't know if you had this before. You think about this. Have you ever heard somebody put some scheme out there, or they put some idea out there, and you start to get that excited feeling inside? And like, oh, this might be a good thing, you know? Usually a salesman can get that going in you if he's really good. You know, he can get that feeling of excitement. And that's that enticement, the Lord says, that attraction by arousing hope or desire. Like, I'm going to really get something good out of this deal. Okay? So imagine now these false messengers back in their day. And I can just imagine something they might come up with. They might say, hey, come worship our gods, because you can have all the sexual pleasure that you want with our young prostitutes because they work for our gods. Whoa, what a draw there, you know? Or in our times, they might have our false prophets, some of these guys we hear, and I'm just picking really on that one group at the moment, but they might say, hey, give a large amount of money to our ministry or to our partners in ministry, a new little trick they've come up here in recent years, and God will bless you 100-fold for what you have given. You know, and so their idea is they're telling you to be more generous, you know, so you can give more money and God will give you more back. Well, what is that fostering? Yeah, the truth is God wants us to be giving and generous so we'll be more like him, not so that we'll be getting something back. That's not the point that the Lord has for us. God's very generous with us. He wants us to have that kind of heart too. So has nothing to do with what we're going to get out of the deal. Now, if you want to see the true teaching on that, we won't take time to look at that today, but 1 Timothy 6 is a good passage to go to, verses 6 to 11, because the Lord talks about contentment, talks about those people that will chase riches and what trouble it gets them into. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, a real good passage to see the true teaching of the Word on giving and money and chasing wealth, and should we do that kind of stuff. Now, what the Lord said here with these guys at the end of verse 5, you shall put away the evil from your midst. And that word put away means to exterminate. So think about this. When we call the exterminator to our house, okay, do you think we just want him to kind of just lower the bug population for us to handle better? No. We want him to completely get rid of all the bugs when you have them come out. And that's the idea the Lord is telling the folks here. You need to exterminate these guys. Completely get rid of them. Just don't get them down a little bit so they'll behave better. But completely get rid of these guys. Okay? Now again, it makes sense. You think about, why is God doing this? It's a test of love. The Lord wants to see, are you really going to follow me? Even when someone sounds like they're bringing a better story for you, a better deal for you, are you still going to follow me? So the point is, if you love God, then you will hate evil, so you won't mind exterminating this junk, okay? So that means for us to get the false teaching out of our lives as well. Don't accept any of the false teaching that's there. And if it's not a message from the Lord, then why keep it or why receive it, you know? Now, the way, it's interesting when you look at how churches deal with some of the teachings and the stuff that comes into the church. A lot of times the church will deal with it. And we're supposed to speak the truth in love. That's the perfect balance of the way of dealing with things. But you don't see the balance sometimes. Either a church will be viciously cruel on the one side of dealing with some issues, or they'll just completely let it go, not do anything at all. Okay, and those both are not speaking the truth in love, where you're doing both sides of that. So the Lord, in the New Testament, he talks about us showing grace to people and giving them a chance to repent. But if they continue in their false teaching, this is about people coming into the church, bringing this stuff, then they need to be removed. And I want you to see this in Titus 3, because this is something that churches have to deal with And in the New Testament, Titus chapter 3, the Lord lays this out for us and gives us great understanding of how we're supposed to deal with this, Lord. We get somebody comes in, they're bringing false teaching in here. What do you want us to do? We shouldn't take them out and stone them. That's Old Testament. Lord said that we got grace here in the New Testament. We're going to deal with this some. But in Titus chapter 3, and you look at Titus 3 down to verse 9. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. And here's the reason, for they are unprofitable and useless. So Titus 3 verse 10 says, reject a divisive man after the first and the second admonition. So you give them a couple of warnings here. And again, they have time to repent in there. And it says, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So if after they have that second admonition, then it's time for them to go. Because they're not going to respond to that opportunity the Lord gave them to repent. So the Lord still says you've got to exterminate that teaching. You've got to get it out of there. You can give them a chance and try to get the truth to them. And we do have a heart to want to reach people. But if they get to that point after the second admonition, it's time for them to go. Okay? Because they're being used by the enemy. Now, back to our passage in Deuteronomy 13. If you look down to verse 6. Okay, he said if you get a stranger from the outside that comes, a prophet, a guy that's a false prophet or false dreamer. But look at verse 6 here. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son, or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, meaning one whom you cherish, or your friend, who is as your own soul, if they secretly entice you and they say, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, all the pagan gods here, near to you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, excuse me, you shall not contend or consent to them or listen to him, nor shall you, your eye have pity on him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Now this is talking about your close people that you know. Excuse me a second. It says, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death. So the Lord says you have to deal with it, be the first one. So this way you don't play games where the guy says, I'm going to get rid of my wife. I'm just going to go on. I'm going to say, hey, she's having this issue here. She's telling me to worship other gods. Let's go take her out. No, the Lord says you're going to be the first one to deal with this. So you are responsible for doing this. And it says, then afterward, the hand of all the people. Now notice when the Lord gives us direction, it's a controlled thing. It's an orderly thing. It's not just some crazy mob or something going on here. But the Lord tells them exactly how to do this. And then it says in verse 10, you shall stone him with stones until he dies. Again, very stiff statement from the Lord. Because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So this again is how serious God takes this. And you think about this. Who's the one that's behind these false messengers? It's the devil. He's the one who's back there doing this. And he plays dirty. And we know that. We talked about that before. He's not above using anybody he can to lead you, anybody, the people of God, away from the Lord. He'll use total strangers, or he'll even try to use those closest to you, if he thinks he can, to try to turn you away from the Lord. So here's the danger. You know, a lot of times, the ones closest to us have the greatest possibility of influencing us, because our heart is more open to them. But regardless of how close they are, the Lord says, do not entertain this stuff at all. No matter who it is, get it out of your mind completely. And here's the principle, and this is a tough one for us to grab sometimes, but there's no relationship in our life, there's no relationship that's more important than our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ. Remember, Jesus said that if anyone comes to me, he does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life. Also, he cannot be my disciple. And the Lord doesn't mean we should hate people, but his point was our love for him should be so solid that any other relationship would be on the same scale as low as hatred. Okay, not meaning to hate anybody, that's not his point. But the Lord should be the primary love relationship in our life. Remember Matthew 18, he also said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Okay? So we're not to let anybody influence us away from the Lord, no matter who they are or how close they are to us. The Lord has a zero tolerance for those kind of things. Now the sad thing is, as we look at this passage and how clear the Lord is making things for the folks there, the sad thing is that Israel never obeyed this. Wow. How many times does the Lord say, obey, obey, obey? And they did not obey this principle. And we know the end of the story. You know, they allowed the false messengers to live among them, family members and all, and it had devastating effects down the road. Man, we got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Don't accept anybody telling you you need to get further away from the Lord, you know. And especially if you're in the category of one of those fanatical Christians, one of those radical Christians that people might accuse you of being. Saying, why do you spend so much time there? Why do you do all these things, you know? And why do you don't have to be there that much? And why do you read your Bible so much? You don't need to do that, you know. And they're just trying to get you away from the Lord. The enemy's at work when you hear those things. He's trying to slow you down. He doesn't want anybody to be on fire for the Lord. So be aware of that. Then in verse 11 it says, so all Israel, when you deal with people, including even family members this close, so all Israel shall hear and they will fear and not again do such wickedness as this among you. So what's the purpose of this severe action the Lord describes? So the rest of the Israelites would hear and they would fear and they would not repeat the same wickedness. So think about this now. Capital punishment, which is what the Lord's talking about here, it does have a lowering effect on crime according to what the Lord tells us. All right, even though the liberal view in our society doesn't agree with the Lord at this. Oh no, okay. What about this? What about if it's not just a person that's been incited to listen to this false messenger and turn away from the Lord, but what if it's a whole city that has listened? Well, surely the Lord is going to say, let them go. Well, I'll take a look at verse 12. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying this. So somebody comes to you and tells you this story. Corrupt men have gone out from among you, and they've enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination, such a horrible thing was committed among you, then here's what you should do. But now notice the Lord says before you go take an action here, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to check it out. So you go and you inquire and you see, is it true? Has this whole city taken in this false teaching? Are they now following the false gods instead of the true living God? Have they left him? Verse 15. You shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it. Complete destruction, okay? All that is in it and its livestock with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street, so all their stuff, and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder. For the Lord your God is the reason you do this. It shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. Wow. A whole city. Mercy sakes. The Lord is really serious about this issue. So why destroy the people and the livestock and even their stuff? You know, I mean, we're thinking, hey, there might be some good stuff in there we could use, right? I mean, that's our American thinking, right? Now, remember, though, what does a little leaven do? Spreads, okay? You know, but even this stuff, like the animals, you know, I'm thinking, what's up with that? Well, imagine this. Let's say, for instance, that you keep a bull that you got from these people. You wiped out the city, as the Lord said, but you thought, man, that's a really good bull. I don't have a bull that good, so you collect the bull, right? And somebody comes up and they say to you, where'd you get that bow from? You know, you got a new one. I hadn't seen that one before. Boy, it's a good looking thing. You know, where'd you get that? And, you know, he managed to say to them, well, you know that city we destroyed where those false teachers were and everything? Yeah, yeah, we got rid of that. But I got the bow from there, you know? And they're going to say, really? Really? I didn't hear about that. What kind of stuff were they teaching in that city? Really? Well, that sounds interesting. Prostitutes? Wow, really? You know, and they start to investigate and get curious. And that little leaven now has started to grow, you know? So when the Lord tells us that you need to get rid of all the stuff, even the animals, even their plunder, even their really good stuff, and you got to burn it all, he knows what he's talking about. Because the leaven has to be destroyed. Because it grows. And the Lord talks about sin, false teaching. It's like leaven. Yeah, it's extremely dangerous stuff. Okay? And I'm wondering if that's not why the Lord had told us, you know, in the New Testament, in regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. You know, don't even be curious about this stuff. Just leave it alone. Don't go there. Okay? So the scary thing about all this, again, is that severe penalty for influencing someone to worship other gods. Because the penalty was death, no matter who it was, no matter how many people were involved, even if it was an entire city. Wow. Amazing. Now you look down at verse 17. So none of the accursed things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger. And look what he wants to do. And show you mercy. And have compassion on you. And multiply you. Just as he swore to your fathers. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God. To keep all his commands which I command you today. To do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Now look at this. Why does the Lord want to do this? Why does he want to keep the people from all this false teaching? It's because he loves them. And he wants to keep them completely away from this junk, this false teaching that might deceive them and take them to a horrible place. He wants to bless his people and not punish them. And that's why he says he wants this to take place. So think about this. You know, God loved them. He didn't want them to keep any livestock even that would be involved with any of that false teaching. Because he wanted them to know that when they were blessed by more livestock in their life, it's because it came from the Lord. And he's the one you can say, thank you, Lord, so much for what you have done. And I know this was you, and nobody else had anything to do with it. The devil didn't touch this. This came just from you. Now think about this. Why did the Lord want them to know that every blessing they have comes from him? Because he wanted them to know he loves them. How beautiful. When God blesses you or me, many times he's going to leave his fingerprints on it. Because he wants you to know that he loves you. That's why. Has God blessed you? I know he has. No matter who you are here today, because the Lord says in Matthew 5, he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust alike. So if you're here today and you're still breathing, I know God's blessed you. And he's only done that because he wants you to know he loves you. Amazing. So the Lord wants us to know that he cares deeply about us. We're going to stop at this point. You know, here as we look at this, though, the Lord has warned these people over and over and over. They didn't pay attention. They didn't pay attention. And I don't know about you, but we seem to have a hard time just doing what the Lord says to do. So we got to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I know in the New Testament we've got so much more going for us. We've got the Holy Spirit in us, you know. So, and Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we got the presence of the Lord with us. But we still need to hear this over and over again. Obey me, obey me, obey me. Because we got that warfare going on in us, that flesh says, I'm going to do my own nasty thing. And the Spirit is saying, don't go there. God wants to bless you. He loves you and he cares about you. So that struggle's there. And it'll be there until the last breath we take in this life. But man, we pray, Lord, help us to listen to you. Help us to obey. We don't want to get to the point where you have to discipline us, Lord, like you had to discipline your children. Yeah. If anyone's here today and you don't know Jesus, man, today, submit to Jesus. You need to start right there. Go to the cross. Jesus paid for your sins, paid for all of our sins at the cross. And it was all taken care of. How do we know that? Because he said, it is finished. He did everything. We just need Jesus Christ. He did it all for us. So Jesus died for you. God raised him from the dead to prove that his sacrifice was acceptable. So if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been born again. You have a new life. If you don't know that yet today, I'd ask you just to bow your heart and ask Jesus to come into your heart and receive what he did for you on the cross. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for these truths that you teach us. Lord, we see how awesome you are. And you deserve all praise, honor, and glory. Lord, don't let the enemy deceive us. Give us good discernment. Help us to stay in your word. Help us not to leave the clear teaching of your word, to hold on to truth. Father, we know in these last days, the influences, the false prophets, the false dreamers are going to increase. And the pressure will be turned up on even the church here, Lord, to want to be tempted to say, maybe there's more. But Lord, help us just to be so satisfied with just you and your word that we don't need more, Lord. We don't have that temptation. Help us, Lord, to stay free from that. If someone is here today and they need Jesus, oh Lord, I pray you keep tugging at their heart. Keep softening their heart towards you. Help them, Lord, just to open themselves and say, I need Jesus. I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need eternal life. Father, we want to pray for young believers too that may have been drawn into some of these false teaching camps unaware. And I pray, Lord, you just wake them up. Just help them come to their senses to check out your word, to have someone or something come across their path to say, check it out by your word, Lord. Rescue them from those places. And Lord, I know as in my life, you taught me what that was like as I went through that. I just pray you'd help them and then use that for your glory as you do. Thank you, Father, for everything you're doing. We just want to give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.